All right, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all.
I can see you all now.
Yeah, good to see you. How's everybody doing? Doing okay? Yeah? Kind of okay? Yeah, it's hot outside, isn't it? I just realized that I have acclimated to California now. For those of you that might not know, my wife and I moved here about 13 months ago. When I walk into my house and it's 85, I'm like, oh, it's so nice in here. Something's wrong with that, right? It's like not normal. Anyway, I want to mention really quick that we, the pool party that is today is actually at 6 p.m., not 5 p.m. So if you're a teenager or if you have teenagers that might be interested in going, it's at 6 p.m. And if you have any questions, you can talk to Wes right after the service and he can tell you where that's going to be. But hey, I want to mention this again. You know, so Don and I moved here 13 months ago, and it's almost 14, and we've acclimated to the weather and things like that too. But, you know, one of the reasons why we moved here was because we really believed that God had called us here, and he had called us here for a specific purpose. And we also believed that God had been doing something here in this community, in this church specifically, for the last 20 plus years, and we were really excited about partnering with what he was doing. And so let me just tell you right now, I think it's amazing what God is doing in the city of Red Bluff, and I think that it's important for us to remind ourselves that Jesus loves Red Bluff. How many of you realize that? Jesus actually loves our city. Four of you are totally convinced. The rest of you are like, I don't know, it's hot. He doesn't love us that much, but he does, right? He loves our city, and he's at work. And then having Henry and Nikki here today, what was really beautiful about that is that Nikki's from Red Bluff, right? And so it's beautiful to see that people are being raised up in the city of Red Bluff and going out to the nations to tell them about Jesus. I think that's really, really cool. So here's the deal. Today's sermon was going to be on the Holy Spirit and baptism, to continue our series. And some of you have had conversations with, and some of you told me that you're really looking forward to that. But I think I want to do something differently, because Wes, did everybody hear Wes say that he was doing some things differently in this service than in first service, right? Does everybody know why we do that? Because we want to follow the guidance of who? Right? So it seems fitting to do a series on the Holy Spirit, to actually allow the Holy Spirit to lead. Would everybody agree? A couple of you are like, I don't know about that. That's a little shaky. But so here's my sermon on water baptism and the Holy Spirit, really quick. The Holy Spirit's involved. Right? Like, when you get baptized, the Holy Spirit is present. And water baptism is an event where we can, years later, look back and see how the Holy Spirit was doing something. But I want to talk about something lunch is going to kick in. My stomach, does anybody else have like lunch stomach? Like at 12:20, it's like, Holy Spirit, you better be done. Anybody else got that, or is it just me? Like 12:20, I'm like, all of a sudden, rawr, 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 why did you not feed me at 10? And I'm like, I don't know, I was stuck here in between services. But on a serious note, in the brief amount of time we have, I really want to share something that I just felt like the Holy Spirit was wanting us to press into for a couple of reasons. And so what I want to talk about actually is just something that I've been thinking a lot about our church. And so, you know, our church has grown, and we've had a lot of crazy things going on. And then like what we did, this is really, let me give you a summary of like what God did, I think, is we get here. And what I was expecting was like, all right, there's a small church, and we'll have like 3 years to like coast into having a little bit larger church, and we'll have lots of time to process things. And then all you freaking people showed up. All right, it was like, ah! And so I have really, I haven't had a lot of space in my own life, being completely honest, to be able to process through some of that. And like, for us leaving Wisconsin was huge. Like, I don't think I really fully understand how crazy it was to leave our life. Like, when I read Genesis 12, the story of Abraham, which some of you know, to leave your place and go to a new place, like, I get that now. Like, it was super hard. And so there's seasons in my week lately where I'm just thinking about the things that we have given up. And it's not all, I mean, I love it here. This is not at all saying that I miss 70 below zero weather in winter. You know, like, I don't at all. I laugh at my friends when they're shoveling. I'm like, ha, 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 well, it's going to be 118 where I live, so take that. And then they laugh at me, and it's like this really weird thing. But I love it here. But here's the deal. We grew quickly, and when you grow quickly, you know, it's really exciting and stuff too. And so our Easter weekend, we had like 550 people here for Easter weekend, and it was like off the chain. How many of you were here Easter weekend? It was pretty exciting, right? Okay, well, I was excited. I'm glad that you were all here. And it was beautiful, though, to see what God was doing. And there, some of you, it might have been your first Sunday that weekend, and you might have connected with God in a powerful way that time. But what happens is then the summer comes, right? And how many of you love the reality that we can drive to the mountains and lakes in the weekend, right? Like, that's a good thing, okay? And we've already said that we're never going to be the church that gets up here and makes you feel like crap because you actually are taking care of your soul. Because we realize that sometimes you have to go to the mountains, right? Yep. It's just you have to. It's 118 here. You have to go to the mountains. And so we're in this tension where in the summer times the numbers go down and it just feels like you lose a little momentum. But here's what's really cool is churches actually grow more in the summer than they do in the rest of the year. And the reason why is because when do most people move? Summertime, right? Like that's when you start the transition process. And so what's been really cool is that over the summer we've had new families. Some of you might be new this morning, and so welcome. But you transition in summers, and then so here's what's going to happen. October's going to come, and guess what's going to happen in October? It's going to be, some of you, I don't know, it's going to be fall, right? Like people, it's like I always jokingly say that church is really October until about May. And the summer is like when, you know, the crazy people come all the time, but most everybody else is out fishing and doing things that I wish I could do on Sunday mornings. Just kidding. But here's something I really feel like we should press into for a few minutes here is, you know, I was thinking about like, what is something that we want to make sure happens every Sunday here at the Vineyard? Like, what are some things that we want to make sure that we never ever like move off of? And there's two things that I really felt like the Holy Spirit was just wanting us to think about for a few minutes here is this idea of welcoming people. Like not stopping that as an emphasis as a church. You know, like I've been in ministry for 15 plus years as a pastor, and I've been involved in church ministry for about 20 years. And this is something that I have not ever seen like stop being important is this sense of belonging and community. Like, I think we, after we've been in church for a while, we might realize that that's, or we might forget how important that is, but how many of you could say right now that when you came to the Vineyard or any of your church experience in the past, the sense of belonging is like a huge part of why you keep on coming back? Anybody willing to agree? Like, that is huge, right? And so feeling welcomed and feeling valued is essential, and I really think it's part of us just being human beings. Like, God actually wired us and created us to have relationships. Like, that's how he's wired us. We might not like being with 1,000 people at once, and we might have just a few friends, but we are wired in a way that we actually need human interaction. Is anybody willing to agree with that? Like, that's true. Like, some days you don't want it, like when your kids are smacking your face at 6 in the morning, telling you wake up, that's when I'm like, all right, can we not have the human interaction right now? But most of the time, we want to have that, right? And so I was thinking about that, and there's this passage in Romans. It's actually just one verse. I want to read it. It's in Romans 15, and it's verse 7. This is so powerful to me. It's because what Paul says is he says this. He says, welcome others as Christ has welcomed you. Or some of our translations might say, accept others as Christ has accepted you. And there is something really powerful with that reality of being a welcoming community that actually values people. Like, we can't ever stop being that way, right? We can never, ever lower the bar on wanting to be a community that values welcoming people. And so here's the tension we have. I'm just being honest, is that as we've grown, what happens is we start to connect with people and we start to form relationships, and those relationships become circles, right? And so it's really natural to have the people that you know. So when you walk into the building, they're like, hey, Steve. And Steve's like, hey, Sarah. And, you know, made up names. But you say hi, and then you start connecting and you have coffee together. And it's really easy to get into that routine, right? But let me just suggest something for us as a church is that I think we need to work really, really hard and be very intentional to always keep our circles open. And the reason why is because we're always having new people come into our community. And we do not want to be the type of church that says we are not interested in having new people in our community, because we've already said that our mission is to know Jesus deeply. Like, we want to do that. Anybody want to do that? Like, I want to be closer to Jesus in 15 years than I am right now. But we've also said that we want to make Jesus known. And a big part of the way that people connect with Jesus is through community. It's a huge thing that we can't underestimate. So Paul here says, welcome others as Christ has welcomed you. And so think about that before we can even press into what it means to be a church that welcomes others. Let's think about that reality, is that Christ has welcomed you. Christ has accepted you as who you are. He's created you. And the minute you become a follower of Jesus, God the Father looks at you through the lens of Jesus. It's like a completely powerful idea. And then in the New Testament, Paul uses this word family to describe what the church is. And I would like to think that we would want to be a healthy family here at the Vineyard, right? Some of us, when we hear like, oh, we're a family, like, nope, no thank you. Because you might have been around one of those circus families, right? And we're always going to be a little circusy around here because of Wes. Did you see his shorts and his shirt that he wears every week? I mean, it's, come on, he needs help. But someone in the first service was like, hey, I'm going to get him a shirt. What size is he? I was like, extra small, please. No offense. But we are a family, right? We are a family. And if we don't feel like family, we need to talk about it, right? Because that's what healthy families do. They talk about it. They actually don't avoid tough situations or subjects. They talk about it. And so I want us to think about that. Like, as a church, we want to keep on inviting, keep on welcoming people. I mean, the reality of it is that people are always one invitation away of experiencing God's presence. So last week, I'm fishing with this guy, because every once in a while I get to go fishing. And I'm fishing with this guy, and he's sharing with me. He said, yeah, you know, he was telling me his story. And he said, you know, I came to the Vineyard and I connected with God. I was like, that's awesome. So he's telling me how it had happened. And then he says to me, yeah, you know, and I went to church today without my wife. And she didn't know that because she's out of town. So I called her this afternoon. I told her I went to church, and then she almost had a heart attack on the phone. And I was like, that is the work of the kingdom, right? And what I loved about it is his story was that he connected with people here. Like, this man who was, you know, super outdoors guy, he came to the Vineyard and he found people that he could connect with and identify with, and he came back. And so the reality of being a welcoming church is something that we need to just continue to work on and be intentional about. And that's really what I want to have us think about for just a couple more minutes here. So what does it mean to be intentional? So this is really what I think the Holy Spirit wants us to really think through right here, is that I think it should be a goal of every human being in this room right now. If you're a part of the Vineyard, this is your church home. Like, this is where you're called. I think it should be one of our goals collectively that no person would ever come to the Vineyard and leave the Vineyard disconnected or feeling disconnected. Like, we should never ever have somebody come to this church family, walk into our building, experience music and hear prayers and hear a message and hear scripture, and then leave feeling like there was nobody who cared about them. Amen? Like, we shouldn't, that heaven forbid that ever happens here. Heaven forbid that ever happens, but it does. And the reason why it happens sometimes is because we're just not quite intentional. And so here's what I see in scripture, and this is so beautiful to me because it just captures the heart of Jesus. Is that Jesus is this human being who is always seen, and he sees people who are on the margins that are overlooked in society. Anybody else love that about Jesus? Right, like, Jesus comes on the scene and he sees people who are marginalized, overlooked, oppressed, who are maybe in a situation in life where they just kind of get ignored. And what does he do? He does everything he can to bring them in, right? He invites them in. He's intentional about that. And that is who we are supposed to be. So I'm like, I just feel like this is so important that we just say that we're going to be that church. Like, I don't want to be a church that just gets into the status quo and has all these circles and we all do our little thing and we're not engaged in God's mission. If that's who we are, then I'm out. Anybody else out? Like, that's not who we're supposed to be. Three of you are with me? Who's coming with me? I got the goldfish. No, it's just me. All right. So we're not going to ever be that. We're always going to be intentional to welcome people who we might just naturally overlook. Because I think God's called us to be something unique in our community. Like, when I think about the Vineyard 5 years from now, this is what I think. I think we want to be a church that's super intentional with having diversity. Like, we have men and women who are leading and serving in our church. Like, we value that. We also want to have ethnic diversity. So I had some conversations with Jennifer, Dr. Torres over there,
for those of you who don't know, she has a doctorate. Jennifer, can you just wave? I know I'm embarrassing right now and you hate me, but thank you. And we were talking about demographics. Did you realize that in the city of Red Bluff, there are other ethnic groups rather than just white people? There are. And I would love to be a church that is diverse. Like, it might not be huge masses of ethnically diverse people, but there are Latinos, Hispanics, there are African Americans, I'm 25% Asian, there is an Asian person in our city. All right, there are ethnic diverse groups of people, and I would love to be a church that's very intentional with reaching those people. And so we want to do that. As a church, we want to be really intentional with that, because again, no one should ever leave the Vineyard feeling like they're disconnected. Amen? Like, we want to be intentional with that. So I want to end with this. Let's stand up together. I'm going to have Scott's going to come up here and play. Let's pray into that. Can we pray into that? All right. So again, just sensing this is what the Holy Spirit's wanting us to do. And it can be scary for us maybe a little bit. But I had this sense a little bit ago about the value of pressing into that as a church, you know. Because here's what I've realized that sometimes we do. And just I want the Holy Spirit always to wake us up. is that we get into these routines of church, right? And sometimes we might just kind of come in, get our fix, and then go. But I think we might want to take a minute here and just pause and welcome the Holy Spirit and say, how can we become better at what you're doing in people's lives? And so here's the reality. Every Sunday, people come to this church who have had a horribly terrible, bottom of the barrel week. Every week there's people. There's people in this room right now who have had just terrible weeks, like have had the worst week ever. And if we don't take time and make space for meeting those people's needs, why are we gathering together? Everybody agree with that? Like, why are we gathering? Like, what's the point? And so I always want to create space for that. And so I was thinking about this, and there's this part in the Vineyard's history. Our church is a part of a movement of churches that's 3,000 churches large. And after the founder of the Vineyard passed away, a very famous theologian named Dallas Willard met with the new leadership, and he was just giving advice, and he said this to them. He said, hey, you know, the Vineyard's going to change, but the one thing you should never stop doing is offering to pray for people. You should never, ever stop offering to pray for people. Now, if you've visited churches before, you probably realize that there's a lot of churches out there that do not pray for people. Did you know that? That you can actually go to a church and never get prayer? Yeah? That's weird. Would you agree with me that that's weird? Is it just me who finds that weird? It's weird. And so let's pray for a few minutes here. And so we want to just take a minute, Lord, and welcome your presence here. And ask you right now for direction, and what are the things that you would like us to be sensitive to? What are the things that you would like us to pursue right now? How might you, Holy Spirit, want to bring freedom or healing, whether it's emotional or physical, right now in this place? So again, just if it would help you to close your eyes and bow your head in this room to be able to connect with God, or to be sensitive or open to what he might do. If you're here this morning and you have a sense of just being disconnected in general, or disconnected from the Lord, or disconnected from community, I would love to pray for you. And so if that's you, would you just, everybody's eyes are closed right now. This is just between you and God. If that's where you're at, would you be willing just to put your hand up just so I just know that I'm at least in the right ballpark. There's a couple of you, anybody else? So here's what I want to do. For those of you in this room right now who have been struggling with feeling disconnected, I'd love to pray for you right now. And so wherever you're at right now, if you want to just lift your hands up to the Lord and ask for his presence, just feel free to do that right now. And I'm going to pray. And so I just pray now, Lord, for anybody in this room that is feeling disconnected, or just I just sense that there's people who feel like they are not on your radar. And they feel like they do not measure up or are even seen by you, God. And so I'd pray in the name of Jesus right now for each one of those people that you would reveal to them your great love for them right now, and that you desire to have relationship with them. And God, I pray that as your Spirit is working right now in their hearts and in their lives, that they would go from feeling disconnected to deeply connected to you, Lord. That they would have a sense of your presence in their life right now. I pray, Lord, that there would be a strong awareness of belonging in your kingdom. I pray that you would bring healing where healing is needed, Lord, in those areas. And can I say this then? We're going to close with this prayer. So for those of us in this room that maybe like you're feeling the importance and the value of actually being more intentional with making sure people feel welcome. Does anybody else feel that way at all? Is it just me? All right, there's a couple of you. Can we just pray into that? Can we do this? If you realize how important it is for us to be a church that is always constantly trying to connect people, would you just acknowledge that? Just say, yeah, that's a value. All right. So let's pray for the Holy Spirit to help us with that. I think that's, Wes, would you pray for that? Just for the gifting for that.
Yeah, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. So here's the good news. God loves you, and I do too. But we get to now go out into the community around us and take this this love, this message of the kingdom to those around us. Amen? Amen? So go out and do that. Do it in peace. And we'll see you next Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m.